Yesterday we discussed the first Tosfos. And the fact that Tosfos spoke about Amigo B'Makom Eidim. So as I mentioned to you yesterday, there are two totally different ways of learning Tosfos and two ways of learning the Mishnah. One way was that it's Amigo B'Makom Eidim because it's talking in a case where he's contradicting the Eidim. Where the Eidim say it was Yotza B'Hinuma, and he's contradicting the Eidim, so it's Amigo B'Makom Eidim. I would call that the Pashta way to learn Tosfos. I think most people make a leaning on Tosfos. That's the way you would understand. Tosfos says it's Amigo against Eidim. You would understand that the case of the Mishnah is that Eidim say Yotza B'Hinuma. The Baal says it's a lie, it wasn't Yotza B'Hinuma. He has a migu to support his lie. So that migu, to support his lie, is a migu against the Eidim, because he's saying the Eidim are lying. We don't believe him to say the Eidim are lying. That's most likely the simplest way to learn Tosfos. Yesterday I mentioned that the Haflah learns Tosfos in a mechunishtik way. The Tosfos is going on a case where the husband is not contradicting the Eidim. The Eidim say that Yotza B'Hinuma. The husband says it's taka true, she was Yotza B'Hinuma. But that was a fake. Even though it was Yotza B'Hinuma, as the Eidim say, nevertheless, she was an Aman. If that's the case, why does Tosfos call it Amigo B'Makom Eidim, not contradicting Eidim? So the Haflah said that this is Amigo against the Minhag HaMedina. It's Amigo, he wants to be believed with Amigo to say that the Minhag HaMedina, which is that the woman who's Yotza B'Hinuma is not an Amana. So he wants to say Amigo to contradict Minhag HaMedina, so Tosfos calls that Amigo B'Makom Eidim. That therefore, Tosfos is telling us a big chiddush, which the Ram disagrees with, that you don't say amigo against Minhag HaMedina. What I'd like to add to that today is just the reason that the Haflah and the Shach go into this mechudishnik way of learning is because there are a number of rayas to the yisayid. This yisayid, that migu against Minhag HaMedina, is not believed. Has a number of rayas, Mekayis and Shach, and the Shach brings these Mekayis as rayas that you can't say amigo against Minhag HaMedina. And the main sugya is the Gemara Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud, where a man owns a field, and he hires an arus, a sharecropper, to work on the field. And the sharecropper does his work, and it's the end of the year now. And the sharecropper says, okay, time to split the profits. I get half and you get half. The sharecropper claims that we made up originally that I would get mechza. And the owner of the field argues, and he says, what are you talking about? We made up that you get shlish. We made up that you only get a third of it. Our arrangement was not that you would get 50%. Our arrangement was that you would get 33%. So there's a disagreement as to how much the Oris is supposed to get. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda says that the Balabayis, the Balasada is Nema. The owner of the field who says it's only a third, he's believed to say he's the Muzik, it's his field, and he's believed to say that it's a third. Rabbi Nachman says, no. Hakel Kiminig HaMedina. You have to take a look. What is the normal way to that sharecroppers in this area do their work? If there's a clear Minhag HaMedina, so Hakel Minhag HaMedina. You look at Minhag HaMedina, whatever the Minhag is, that's what you do. So Rabbi Yehuda answers, why don't you go according to Minhag HaMedina? Rabbi Yehuda answers, no, the owner of the field has a migul. He could say, you're not a sharecropper. You're a schirai v'lakita, you're a hired worker. whoever made up with you to be a sharecropper, I never made such an arrangement. You're schir v'lakita, you deserve to get paid by the hour, and you don't get any of the crop. So since he has a migu, we could say, schir v'lakita, you believe to say that you only get a third. The migu, we could have said schir v'lakita. Even in a case where the minig ha-medina is to give a half. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that even in a place where a normal sharecropper gets 50%, the owner of the field here is believed to say, my arrangement with you is that you only get a third because I have a migu. Which means that Rabbi Yehuda holds a migu is believed against minig ha-medina. Because there, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, through a migu, I believe the Baal HaSadeh to say, my arrangement to you was contrary to the whole minig. The whole minig is to give 50%. I'm going to give you 30%. So that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, Rabbi Nachman, who says, no, HaKol K'minig HaMedina, what does he do with the migu? So the understanding of most of the Achrayim, primarily main thing is the Shach, is that Rav Nachman holds that a migul does not work against minig ha-medina. That is the argument of Rav Nachman, that if in this place the minig is the Oretz gets 50%, that is minig ha-medina, and that carries the weight. That's the way it's said. And the Hamdim is halachic for Rav Nachman b'dini. Dini mamonis, we always pass like Rav Nachman. And therefore, we would paskin that a migu against minig ha-medina does not work. So that this is a raya from an understanding of the machlokes in Bava Metzia, that would be a raya to this. There's a second makar for this in Bava Basra, the Gemara which we learned Bava Basra, the beginning of the first parak. It's a very Pashto raya. Remember, the first Mishnah of Bava Basra talks about a wall between two people's property. You have two neighbors that divide a chater. They put up a wall smack in the middle. Each one's supposed to pay for half the wall, and each one's supposed to give property for half the wall. Many years pass, and the wall falls down. So what does the Mishnah say? The wall falls down. One of the people says, the stones are all mine. I paid for it. What does the Mishnah say? That's a pikach. Nafal ha-kaisel. The Mishnah says that the wall falls down. So they divide the stones and they divide the property that the wall was on. That's the simple reading of the Mishnah. But the chiddush that they divide the stones. The chiddush is that even though the stones fell into one person's property, the wall fell down into one of the people's property, the one who has the stones now could have a migu. He could say, believe me, I paid for the stones. If I have a migu, I could have said that I bought it from you now. I'm a mosik. The stones fell into one person's property. So he's saying it's mine because I paid for the wall. It's not the derech to pay for the wall. The derech is that the people split. But the one into whose property the stones fell has a migu. That he could have said a different kind of. What could he have said? If you'd be a liar, he could say, Taka, we both paid for the stones initially. But now, once the stones fell into my property, I paid you for it. And he'd be believed. The Muslims would believe that it's out. So what's the case of the Mishnah there? It's a simple case of migu. The person into whose property the stones fell has a migu. And he's not believed to say that the stones are his, that I paid for it initially with a migu, I bought it now. Why not? Because it goes against the minig ha-medina. The minig is that each person pays for half of it. And that's the reason the Mishnah says no one person could say, if the stones fell into my property, now I have an ego of the cross, I'll say that I paid for the whole wall. You're not believed to say you paid for the whole wall because it goes against minig ha-medina. The minig is that everyone pays 50-50. So this is the second raya that the second makar that you don't say minig when you don't say migu when the migu is trying to say that I did something that's different than the minig. Different than the minig on the migu. You want a kinda that you pay for the whole wall. With the migu, migu doesn't do that.
What? It's also normal to hire a
sakhi. Normal to hire a sakhi, but that's not a tainah. If he would say, I hired a sakhi, he'd be believed. He's tainahing, I made up 33% with a migo, that tainah. The tainah which he's trying to be believed with goes against the negamadina, not the migo negamadina. These are two makaris. The shach is a third makar from the Sefer Peah. The Mishnah there says, talks about someone who is purchasing chitim. He goes out to buy chitim, and he meets on the Am HaAretz selling chitim. And the Ani tells him that he received these chitim as Maaser Ani. And now he's selling them, which he's allowed to do. This poor man, he went door to door, and someone gave him Maaser Ani. Now he has a lot of chitim. He'd like to have other things. He sells the chitim, which is mutter. So the buyer, now, even though normally if you buy from an Am HaAretz tevel, you have to give a truma to Maaser. The thing that the Ani is saying is Maaser Ani, he's a firm person. He's Am HaAretz, he's a firm person. He's believed to say that he received this as Maaser Ani, and the buyer does not have to give truma to Maaser. Because now Maaser Ani, you don't have to get through with some mess. What happens if he goes to the Ani, and the Ani is selling him flour? The Ani is selling flour. And yes, the Ani, what kind of flour is this? Where'd you get it from? And the Ani says, I received chitim from Maaser Ani, and I went through, I passed it through a mill, I ground it into flour, and now I'm selling it. So it's the same thing. The Ani is believed. Because he believes to say that he got chitim of Maaser Ani. See, they turned it into flour. So it's a very believable thing. And again, he's believed. Third case. The Ani is selling flour. He's selling flour. And the buyer says again, where'd you get the flour from? He says, I received the flour as Maaser Ani. I was going door to door, and someone gave me the flour betayr as Maaser Ani. Says, should he be believed to say that? What's his migu? He could have said he got chitim and he ground it into flour, right? He could have the person is buying flour from the Ani. The Ani is saying, I received flour as Maaser Ani. Now, he really could have said, the second case, I bought chitim and I ground it into flour, which is believed. But he's not saying that. He's saying instead, I received flour as Maaser Ani. So, pashtus, he should be believed. He has a migul to say, he could have said, I received chitim. The Mishnah says that he's not believed because it's not normal for people to give flour as Maaser Ani. Not people don't do that. If you are obligated to give a tenth of your wheat to an Ani, you don't go and grind it for him also. Most people don't do that. Dr. Chaim, what does that mean? That means the Ani is saying something which goes against Minig HaMedina, goes against the way people normally behave. He's saying something which is not the way people normally do things. And he wants to be believed with a migu to say this taina which is against the Minig HaMedina. So the Shach says that is again a migu against Minig HaMedina. Turns out, therefore, we have three Makairis and Shachs for this Yisayit, which the Shach calls the true Lahalacha, that a migu against Minig HaMedina is not is not believed. Legal to say it differently than Minhag HaMedina is not believed. And for this reason that we were very happy learning Taisis, that Taisis is saying the same thing and learning the Mishnah that way. That if a person says, it's true, she was Yatza Vihinuma. 100% true, she went out with the Rosh HaPerua. Nevertheless, she was an Almana. So we don't... that the person is not believed to say that even with a migul, because it's a migul against the meaning of a migul. So for this reason, our Taisus is good, it's wonderful, it's easy. It's a chiddush to all of us that you can't say a migul against the meaning of a migul, but Afal Pi Ken, it has strong mekayim. The flip side of this, of what I'm telling you today, is the Ran. Because the Ran said that the husband would be believed with a migul against the Minhag HaMedina. And in our Mishnah, the Ram Shita was that our Mishnah is talking where there is no migul. He was right, there wasn't Peru. But if it would be a case of migul, a man could say, it's true that she wore a veil at the wedding. 100% true. And Afal Pi Ken, even though it's true, she was an Amana. So the Ran holds, you do say amigo. You are believed with amigo against Minhag HaMedina. All these three cases would seem to be a kasha on the Ran. All three Gemaras, and this is Shams Kasha real, all three Gemaras are Shver on the Ran. The Ran says you could say amigo that she went out Rosh HaPerua, and she was an Almana. I believe you could have amigo, I could have said Parati. The Ran says that that's a good amigo. All these three Gemaras are problematic with the Shita Saran in our Gemara. The Ran here it seems to be saying that an eagle is good against Minhag HaMedina, that he's a Hesed. I don't know, I'm not sure how to answer these questions. But the main nekuda is to understand the significance of the machlokes and the significance of Taisus, the way we're learning the Taisus, the way the Shach and the Hafla learn Taisus. It's very significant to say migul b'machin eden means migul against Minhag HaMedina. And I think we will come back to this on Daf Yud Ches. Maybe there, where they discuss migul against Minhag HaMedina, we'll be able to find somebody who says the Teres of Shita Sarab. The Ram needs a teretz from all three Rams. All three cases seem to be. Any reason why the Minhag HaMedina here should be weaker? Here, why the Minhag HaMedina should be weaker than that? Yep. Unless an almana does not have to cover her hair if she's an almana. Unless she doesn't have to cover it, yeah. But Shat Mishnah, it says the simon that they always do. But still, the Minhag HaMedina is to go out that way. But the minhag is to go to the chasna this way. If you go to the chasna this way, then you're going and you're saying you're contradicting the minhag. Why? Aren't you contradicting? The minhag is that an almana, even if she doesn't normally have to cover her hair, when she goes to the chuppah, she does. So again, you have a Why did someone not correct?
Not correct? That alone, that's not true, is what you're saying? Everybody knows she's
mad
before, and then she's walking out with a
dusty room.
What's going on?
Why didn't someone say that? I'm trying to think maybe the other way around. Maybe when it comes to a chasna, she didn't ask a shy, but she went. However, she went. I mean, who's in charge? Maybe she's on her ass and they don't know, so she just went. I mean, they had to be beside the condition anyway.
No, it's always somebody against.
The three, it's all against me. The thing is, all three have to do with money. All three rayas are money things. Are money cheshbonos. Even though it affects Trumas and Maaseres, a person wouldn't grind someone else's chitin because it costs them money, why would he do it? Maybe somehow by money issues, people, maybe the Rambam hold that by money issues, financial issues, people are aware of getting a medina. Money, everyone knows that they can maybe going out that they have covered, maybe. Or people are not that aware. What? But isn't it a financial reason that you won't grind? Because you have to hire a worker and grind.
Right,
so therefore.
If I start making flour, the more I do with it, the better chance I'm going to get the mind going altogether.
So you're saying there are two reasons why he wouldn't grind it. He wouldn't grind it. He doesn't.
Well, if you have that, it's not a monetary issue. I don't want to have any of the improvements in my food. So then it's not
even. I took the maizani. I said, "How is that maizani?" Right. Now the food is not cattle. Now it's kineva. If this chitim falls back into my things, I'm a gun, right? So I don't want. So I would like to give it to Rani as soon as I can.
That's
what I'm saying is that maybe it's more common to have people who don't know meaning Hamadina by a second wedding. How many second weddings have you ever had? How often does it happen? It's a quiet thing. People either make a quiet small second chasna. So it could be there are many people who don't know that by a second wedding a woman doesn't wear a veil. I'm guessing that if it wouldn't be a Mishnah here, so people know about it. I don't know how many people would know that by a second wedding or if she doesn't wear a veil. Maybe this Minhag HaMedina is shvacher in the sense that maybe people don't know about it as much as when you're talking about money things, where money is money, people protect them. How's it to Minhag if I'm saying people don't know about it?
Yeah.
You need him to start a kedushin anyhow.
Small thing.
Start a kedushin, hold on.
You don't necessarily need him, like, you know how
halacha
requires that from, you know,
confident
about
the
thing. It's a lot safer to have someone.
Halacha requires someone who's a bucky, built his kid in the kedushin to be certainly for a second wedding. But I don't know. So then we start the kasha on the Ran and try to poke around to find some type of a hole in why the Ran here holds that amigos believe to say, with amigos believe to say that Shitaka would not be Hiduma, but she was an Amana anyway. If you have amigos, you believe. The Ran said, I'm Mishnah Tum, but there's no amigos. So why is the Minhag HaMedina to go out to a wedding with a veil any weaker of a minig than the other three? That's what we have to do to try to answer the Ran Shita. Ran is saying that we can do see, not every difference makes a difference. Sometimes someone comes over to me, he says he can answer by saying a difference. Not every difference makes a difference, but there is a difference between these three cases and the Ran, that these three cases all relate to a financial loss on the part of the person who's not aware of the minhag. And our Mishnah relates to just going out with the wrong face cover. Now, whether that difference makes a difference, that I'm not sure. It doesn't really affect Mamanis because at the time of the wedding, he knew and she knew and they wrote it silver. At that time, they knew it's Mano Messiah. The tongue of the veil was ineffective. What? She's never saying now because either she lost the silver, or there is no silver and they forgot, and there's nobody who knows outside of that whether she was an Amana or not. But presumably he and her knew at the time they get married, whether she's an Amana or a man gets married, usually he knows if his wife was previously married. So at the time of the wedding, The question is whether it's a mikvah for makom eidim to say that she went out behinuma, and even though she went out behinuma, she was nevertheless a almana. So that seems to contradict the custom that on tzadi, that anybody who goes out with a veil is an almana. That's the issue that we have to try to get some clarification on how, because right now the Ran is very much a das yachid. The Shach Paskins that you cannot say anything against the Minigam Adina. We're saying that Kabbalah Taisis. And we're saying we have three Rayas to it. You can't just say you have three Gemaras, not like the Ran. The Ran has to have a Mahalach to be Mechalati in our Mishnah and those three Gemaras. I don't know. What?
Like Rashi said that the hair was partially covered in the Russian Sula. It's just like nowadays, part of the hair is partially covered.
So people on the Zalbulin. They're
two.
Maybe covering here, people are mezalzin. What about wearing a veil? So, it's the same psychology. Right? She wants to look like a. So, why don't we get married a second time? Maybe it's different days on Arabic. What? No, the Ran doesn't explain. I mean, they can't argue with the Gemara. One's a Mishnah, there's no Ran on the Mishnah and Peah, but. It would seem that what we have to do is find a way for the Ran to agree with the aside that you don't say amigo against Minigam Adina, and to find a reason that our case should be different. You have a choice. Either you can do that, or you can say the Ran argues with the whole thing. And he holds you do say amigo against Minigam Adina. And then you have to answer each of the three Gemaras, either with one long tarot or with three different tarots and one on each. That's a difficult thing. It's a problem. Which, we are going to have in this parak a list. Nigo Makamedin, Nigo Daraza, Nigo against Minigam Adina. We're going to have like a whole list of probably 10 different Nigo Lahaitzi, different types of Nigo situations. And this one, Nigo against Minigam Adina, is the least clear in the Rishayim. If it were not for the Shach collecting it, it wouldn't be so clear. Taisus Lashon is Nigo Makamedin. And we're saying places means Nigo B'mok and Minigam Adina, which is an Anasad. Okay, there's one additional issue in the Reisha of the Mishnah before we get to the Sefer, and that is the issue that the Rush addresses here in the Rush on our Gemara. That's the issue of Maida B'mitzah. L'chaira, the husband is a mitzvah b'mikta. He is saying, she's saying, you owe me a $200 suba, and he's saying, it's not true, I only owe you a $100 suba. M'chayra, he's a mitzvah b'mikta, and he should have to swear. Every mitzvah b'mikta, you're familiar, is obligated to swear, Shvud Araisa, Beth. If he does not swear, he loses. So M'chayra, in our Mishnah, the husband should be obligated to swear. So the Rush says no. He doesn't have to swear. Why? So those of you who have looked at the Rush will see that he seems to give three different reasons. He doesn't say he's giving three. So he answers. But in his words, he seems to say three different reasons. First reason he says that you don't swear is we have a rule that apparently there's no Chiyuv Shvua on Kfira Shibut Karkois, on any Indian that relates to Karka, to real estate, there is no Shvua, and that's Gzeres HaKasim. I don't think there's any Svara. Gzeres HaKasim. That Maida B'Mikzas is only Acha Yaymar Kihuzeh, you have to be able to point to the Tafelim. And on Karka, there's no Shvua. So being that a woman is Tadeya Karka from a Tfer Haksuba. So this is Kfiras Shibut Karkois. So maybe you don't. That's this first teretz. Now that teretz is not true lahalacha. It's true because in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, a Ksuba could only be collected from Karka. However, is the Takanas HaGa'inim. Ga'inim lived after the time of the Gemara, between the Gemara and the Rishayim is the period of the Ga'inim. The Gaonim made a takana that a woman should be teveya haksuva from her husband's betavu. It's a taisis in the Samazayin of an Aleph. It brings from the Shira guy that although normally you can't manayin from Yisraelim, you can't manayin the Tafelin, but an almana can manayin Hatsuba, she could be Teveya Hatsuba from the Tafelin. Says the Rosh. So now this first teretz is not a good teretz. It's a good teretz on the Gemara. Allah halacha, it's not true. Because nowadays, the ksuba is not karka. Nowadays, the ksuba is metaphor. So therefore, the rush comes with the second teretz. The second teretz is that this is a case of halach. Halach. What is halach? We had this in Bava Metzia. The case of halach in the Gemara is a case where you approach me, you tell me that you're tovei me $200. I tell you, I only owe you $100, and here it is. I give it to you right now. And I'm denying the second $100. Now, pashut, that should be by the b'mitzvah. So the Gemara has a dispute, but we pass it like the man Yamar. Halach is not by the b'mitzvah. If I'm paying you right now the amount that I'm either, the remainder does not have a din of Maida B'mitzvah, that is a din of Kasher HaKav. He says, our Mishnah is a din of Hail. How is it a din of Hail? How is he doesn't explain how is it Hail? He says, Kiha. And he brings the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, in a situation where I take out a shtar and I'm teveya you, I say that you owe me money. How much money do you owe me? So we take a look at the shtar, and in the lashna shtar it says siloim dinrim. It says either you owe me siloim, plural, or dinrim, plural, and the number is not legible. How many slot and how many things became erased? It's not legible. So the Yerushalmi says, if I say you owe me 5 things, and you say no, it's 3, then you're a Maida B'mitzvah. Question. I say 5, you say 3. Maida B'mitzvah. If I say 5 and you say 2, I say you owe me 5 things. And you say no, it was only 2 dinrim, you're not a mite of the mitzvah. Why? Today you 5, you mite the 2. Because those 2 was mamay she'ina yachal likvar. I could not deny the 2. Because it says sloim, lashon rabim. Lashon rabim can't be 1, right? The least it could be is 2. So 2 dinrim, I could not possibly deny any yachal likvar. So since I could not be kai for the 2 dinrim, so that's not called a might of a mitzvah, that I'm saying there were 2 dinrim, because that's mamish and yachal ikvar. So for this reason, something you show me that I'm not that does not have a din of mitzvah. Okay, now you all understand, in our Mishnah is exactly the same thing. The $100 tzuva he could not deny, because that's the lowest possible tzuva. The smallest possible tzuva is 100. If he's married, he certainly owes her 100. But since he owed her 100, so that's any yachal ikvar. So there's no maida b'mitzvah. She's today at 200. He's made the 100. The 100 is mamish any yachal ikvar. And mamish any yachal ikvar, so you're... That's not a maida b'mitzvah. What? Could have tainted that I paid you the whole thing. It's true. So the Rosh says, he's talking like the Man Yomer, that the Rosh says, my teretz is going, like the Madhyabi, you're not known to say Paradi. Say Nachem, I said that name, that you can't say Paradi on a silver. And nothing else. If you say Paradi, the Paradi is just challenging the Yakshan. And the Rosh said that. So this is the Rosh, and this is obviously now a new Chiddush. The Chiddush that Mamet Shein, the Yafal Ikbar, is not a mite of a mitzvah. What's the Svara? Is this not a bigger thing? That Mamet Shein, the Yafal Ikbar, is not a mite of a mitzvah? Huh? I'm being like that I owe you $2, which is my third of silver. So therefore, I will not be owe it, and therefore, I'm not being like that.
So you're just arguing about, you're saying I don't owe you $100. You're
not saying I only owe you $100.
You're saying
what Penny's saying. You're saying is that I'm like that. That we never had a shayla. Right? It's a good start. See, that's the thing. This explains why our mission is not a bite of a mixer. It's not a bite of a mixer because the 100, which is maida, he can't be kaifer. And what's the svara of any yachalik bar? So what you're saying is, that's not called being maidah. If you made the two when it says dinrim, that's not called being maidah. That it says. You made 100 on a ksuba, that's not called being maidah. That's pashas. And that's, I'm asking to the svara, there's no problem. Just in the Rosh and Harosh, it's confusing. Because first the Rosh says it's Halach, the case of Halach. And then he says, like this Yerushalmi, which says that it's Eliyahu HaLikva. The language of the Rosh is very confusing. He starts using the word Halach, and then he goes on and he gets to a word, Eliyahu HaLikva. Eliyahu HaLikva is fine. I think we all understand the Svara, and we're all happy with it, and we have no problem. I'm just pointing out to you that in the Lashon of the Rosh, it's a problem. The Rosh starts by saying it's Halach. And then he says, Kiha de Yerushalmi, and Bahach Yisub Yerushalmi. And Mechari Yishami is a totally different thing. Yishami is saying that, not that it's Halach, Yishami is saying that it's Mom Shem Yachal Lichba.
I understand that. Still, if you
have Lichba, you have to point, you can't go anymore, you can't divide anymore, it's Halach. Okay, what you're saying can be true, but it's not the Pashat Shach. But we'll get to what you're saying. Now, Kapanim, this is the Rosh's Chiddush of any Yachal Lichba. There's no Gemara in Shach that says any Yachal Lichba. And Rosh said, in the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Dalet, when it brings the sugya of Silas Law and Dinyan, it says the same psak as Yushalmi, and if one says 5 and the other one says 2, it's not a mite of a mikta. The Gemara says why isn't it a mite of a mikta? So the Gemara has a few reasons. One reason is Halach. The Gemara says okay, so, hey, look, if you say 2 and the person has a shvah for 2. The other reason is that it's kefir shiva karkais. He's talking about a shtar that has shiva karkais. And yet, when the Rambam brings that Gemara down, of Slan Dinrin, the Rambam says, it's mamin she'eni yachal litva. He says these words, that it's mamin she'eni yachal litva. He brings a reason which is not exactly the perish of the Gemara. The Stipler in Bava Metzia says that what's the makar for Mam Sheni Yachal Litva? It's the Rosh in the beginning of Perek Bei Tzuvah. So that the Rambam is like the Rosh, even though the Babli doesn't say it clearly. The Rambam brings it. As a matter of fact, the Rambam has a case where I come to you and say, you owe me $100. You borrowed $100. 50 I have a shtar for, and 50 balpeh. And you answer 50 bishtar I'm item. 50 balpeh I deny. Is that a mitzvah b'mikdash? Rambam says no, because it's mamish in the upper mikvah. Because the 50 bishtar you have a shtar for. That's mamish in the upper mikvah. But that's not a mitzvah b'mikvah. Oh, everything is good. If we stop here, everything is nice. We have a new yisai, mamish in the upper mikvah, and the Rosh says it here, and the Rambam agrees with it, and everything is good. The problem is, if you look in our Mishnah, where it's brought in the Rambam, where the din of our Mishnah is quoted in the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, Perek Dazayin, the Rambam says, she says, I was a psula, and he says, you are an almana, and there's no rayas. The Rambam says that he only pays 100, but he repleted to swear a shvuah is made of the mikvah. The Rambam says the Beferish and our Mishnah that you do swear a shvuah is made of the mikvah, that there is an obligation to swear a shvuah is made of the mikvah. What's going on? The Magid Mishnah says that the dispute is around them. In one place, what? In, well, just one second. In one place, the Rambam says, by Slan Dinrim, that if you are, if you're Maiden, Mam Shani Yachalikvar, that you're, if you're Maiden, Mam Shani Yachalikvar, you're not a Maiden in it. Like the Rosh. And then here in our Mishnah, where he's being Maiden 100, which is also Mam Shani Yachalikvar, said that the Rambam says that you do swear Moshe was made of a mikvah. So the Magen Mishnah is not clear on the Rambam. How could the Rambam say you swear? The Bishlama, you say Shibakar Kvais, you say this man has a Knakar, the rest of it. Mom, it's the top. But what about the fact that it's Mom Shani Yachal Mikvah? What do you do with that? So the Magen Mishnah has this cash on the Rambam. Because it's impossible to be married to a woman without owing her at least $100 in of super money. That amount must be. In the case of the 50, it's because of the contract. In the case of our mission, it's because they were married. And being that they were married, there has to be $100 silver at the minimum. So therefore, in our Mishnah, it should be Mom and Shani Yachalikvar. So how could the Rambam say, that it's Yechayavish was made of a Mikzah? Spirus a Rambam. Problem. So all of the Achrayim attempt to get out of this mess in the Rambam. And there are two approaches to it. The most famous is Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim is here in Hilchos Ishus. Learning the Reb Chaim inside is very difficult. The language is not clear at all. And there's a Reb Naphtali who explains the Reb Chaim, and there's a Stipler. Both bring the Reb Chaim and explain it. The Stipler is in Bava Metzia Siman Zayin. And the explanation, I'll try to explain the Reb Chaim as best as I understand. I think it's the basic nekuda of Reb Chaim is the following. Again, what's the issue? We have a rule. Mamid Sheini Yachalikvar is not a Maid of Anikvah. That's our rule. Mamid Sheini Yachalikvar is not a Maid of Anikvah. The Rambam agrees with the rule. Just in our Mishnah, he says, no, in our Mishnah it is a Maid of Anikvah. That's the question. As we're accepting this such a rule. The question is how it fits into our mission. To answer that, let's go back to what I asked you a few moments ago. What's the svara that Mam Sheni Yachalikvar is not a Maid of Mikvah? What's the svara? So the svara that you said is that that's not called Maid. Maid, the Mikvah means you're Maid. Maid means you're conceding something. I'm not conceding anything if it's obvious. That's one mahalach in Mamid Sheni Yachal Mikvah. And it may well be that's the pshat mirash, that that's mamish ene yachol. Reb Chaim says that there's a second way to learn mamish ene yachol, and that is to learn that mamish ene yachol is halach, the type of halach. What is halach? Halach is, I say here, I'm paying you now. So we don't need a pshat bezdin on this. I'm paying you. And therefore, we only need a psak bezdin on a kaifer akal. Now, bezdin only has to render a psak on a kaifer akal, not on a mega bezdin. That's what halach is. But the tie-in, in a case where you have a shtar, it says slay or dinyan, and I'm mega two, yes, I owe two. I denied all the rest of the five. In that case, that's also halach. Because Bezdin doesn't have to render a psak on the two. The two, you have a shtar. You have a shtar for two. When you have a shtar in your hand, that's as good as money in your hand, as far as Bezdin is concerned. Because you have a shtar. The shtar says that you owe two. So Bezdin doesn't have to paskin that you owe two. You have a shtar. Or in the Rambam's other case, where I come to you and I say, you owe me $100. 50 I have a shtar, 50 I don't. I say, it's not true. The 50 and the shtar are maida, the other 50 I'm not maida. Look at Chaim, what's the pshat? What's the reason that's not a maida b'miktas? It's because Bezdin doesn't have to pass him on the 50 the shtar. You have a good shtar that he owes you $50. Bezdin doesn't have to pass him. That's a form of halach. Because you have the shtar, that is halach. So that's the din of mamash ene yachol lichvar. It's the din that because you have the shtar, that's halach. So Reb Chaim, in our Mishnah, what comes out now? In our Mishnah, he says, I owe you 100. She says 200. Is it a mitzvah b'miktas? The Rosh says it's not a Maida B'miktas. It can't be Kaiser. But Chaim is now saying that it is a Maida B'miktas. Because the only time any Yachol Lichvar matters is when the person has a shtar. If a person has a shtar, Bezdin does not have to pass him. He has a shtar. It's like, hey, look, he has a shtar instead of the money. In our Mishnah, does she have the shtar? She doesn't have the shtar. She lost the shtar. Right. Now in Mishnah, she doesn't have the shtar. The whole Mishnah is telling you that she lost the shtar, or the makom shein kaiser shtar is. So she has no shtar. So Reb Chaim, why is mamon shein yachol lichvar become halach? Mamon shein yachol lichvar only becomes halach because you say halach, here's the shtar. Normal halach, I say here's the money. Our Mishnah's in yachol lichvar's halach is here's a shtar. A shtar is as good as money. That's true wherever there's a shtar. If there's a shtar, so I'm not a maida b'miktas because I'm being maida that your shtar is a good shtar. But now in Mishnah, where there is no shtar, even though he's any awful lichvar, I hope he can, it's not a type of halach. Why should the shtar matter? The shtar only matters if the pshat in any awful lichvar is that it remains halach. The question is, everyone knows that you're 100. Isn't that exactly the same thing? Everybody knows. Everybody knows. The Chaim holds that doesn't make it halach. Halach is you have to have something in your hand. Chaim is saying that halach is you have to have something in your hand. If you look in the Lashon of the Sefer, when he brings up Chaim, he brings, I think, three or four names of people who learn like Reb Chaim, but say, like you're saying, that you don't actually have to have a shtar.
Right.
And then the Sefer, but Reb Chaim learned that you have to have the shtar. And with that, the Rambam is answered. So that the Chiddush that Reb Chaim is saying in Kabbalah to Rambam is that it's not about the mitzvah, only if you actually have a shtar in hand, you have something in hand.
Bezdin doesn't have to pass it.
said before that the svar of any yachalik for is that peasant does not have to pass. The peasant doesn't have to run your sack. That's the svar of hay. Here, peasant doesn't have to pass. And why do they? It's true, but she has to work out a peasant with something, with some proof. If the husband has no money, she'll come 10 years later. If he can bail, it's going to be then. Chaim holds that it's only harmless if she walks out with something in her hand. She's got to have something. She needs a psak peasant. She needs something to come out of peasant. The main thing we gain with Reb Chaim is what we want to do. If you think of this from a halachic viewpoint, the main thing we'd like to do is to come out with a klarkeit that there's a din of any achalikvar is not a mitzvah b'miktzas. What we gain with Reb Chaim is we're saying generally the Rambam is mitzvah any achalikvar, except for this requirement that there be a shtar. When there's no shtar, that's where the Rambam is not mitzvah. You look at the carbon asana on the Rosh and Ice Bays, he says a very similar, not identical, but a very similar shot in the Rambam. Kofanim, this is Reb Chaim's Mahalach. I should mention that there's a second Mahalach in the Eben Ha'azel, which is, I don't know if it's nice to say, it's a cute teretz, but it tickles you a little in teretz. I think it requires some thinking. We said, what was the whole kasha on the Rambam? This is Mada Shani Yachalikva. He can't deny. 100,000 Subi is certainly Chayim. Mada Shani Yachalikva. Evan Ozel says, no, it could be Kaifer. How can he be Kaifer the 100? He could say, I never married her. I never married her. He said, I never married her. What? So he says, what do you mean? Everybody knows. What does that mean? He could say, I never married her. What are you talking about? They're coming to give a get, right? So she'll bring Eidim that know that they live together. It's never not true. If he says, I never married her, so she'll bring Eidim. But that doesn't make it any Yachalikvar. Any Yachalikvar means he has no chance. There's no time. He has a time. He can say, I never married her. It's true. She'll go and she'll bring Eidim and he'll lose. Any yachalikvar means that he has no kaina. It doesn't mean he'll win. But it's any yachalikvar means he can't say anything. He's not even he's not a maida. He's not being maida because he couldn't deny it. He could have denied it and made it entire out of it. He would have lost if he had aid. But he's still a maida. But this is being maida, and he's not requiring her to prove that that he was married to her. The kids are kind of to the mother.
If you weren't married to our father, we don't know you. That's what they're in kind. That's the kind of.
The kids are going to ask me, send them. We're going to kind of to the assignment. You send. They don't know. They weren't at the wedding. They'll say, how do I know you haven't married our father? Everyone never married.
How do you know it's their father?
What?
How do you know it's their father?
Because maybe it's not about. But it's not about. Oh, so we know. So, you mean that they're not entitled to Yerusha anyway? They're not going to pass on my father, then they won't get Yerusha. It's going to get complicated. So, could be kids from a different marriage. Maybe it's just from a different marriage. Why Yarshan? Then kids from that marriage, what'll be? See, the Evan Ozel's not saying that he's actually in a kind of this. Devin also saying that he's not called Mom Shani Yachalikvar because he couldn't make a dintar out of it. He couldn't make a dintar out of it. He couldn't make her prove it. You won't win. They're late and dead that they were married, that they lived. People live as husband and wife in the city where the Cheskas married. This is all still the ratio of the Mishnah. I didn't even finish the Mishnah, so I'm going to finish the Gemara. Okay, tomorrow we're going to Glimeder. We're going to finish the Gemara down. And make sure you know the bottom place as well, the two Machos Rashi places.